Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
Welcome to Sister Share again this week. We're so happy you joined us. We are sisters joining from all around the world, and you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or anywhere that podcasts are posted. This week, we're lucky enough to have all six sisters on the call.
Hi, I'm Lorraine from Idaho.
This is Nettie calling in from Okinawa.
This is Mamie in Cache Valley.
This is Rebecca calling from Manson, Utah.
This is Heidi from Orem, Utah.
And I'm Katie from Spanish Fork.
We are having so much fun making these podcasts, and we hope you're also enjoying them as you listen to them. It's so enjoyable to get together as sisters and discuss. And who has a question for us today?
So, this is Becca, and I have been toilet training our 3-year-old. It shouldn't have taken me this long, I'm sure, to train him, to start training him, anyway, I thought, goodness, I need some refreshers. I have trained a few children. He's our 8th, actually. But again, I never enjoy it. And so I thought maybe I'd bring that to Sister Share this week and get everybody's thoughts and encouragement and ideas about training your tot.
It's not to be enjoyed.
For encouragement?
Some kind of encouragement. That's when you hire a nanny, Becca.
I love that you said he's your 8th to train and you still don't love it and still need help, Becca. I'm sure that's how every mother feels. What a difficult task, something that always looms over us with young kids. We obviously have nothing to say.
This is how much encouragement we have for you, Becca.
Well, I'll go ahead and get started with just an anecdote. I did write an article on training the tot many years ago before I had more theories and fewer children. And one thing I remember is that I had to stay calm. No matter what my method was, I couldn't lose my cool or get upset or uptight or frustrated, because whenever I lost it, when there was an accident or someone didn't make it to the bathroom, then it kind of put us back and just made the whole feeling sour with everyone. So as hard as it is, as you're training the tot, just stay calm. Keep your face calm. Keep your body calm, even if you don't feel calm inside. That's my first tip.
And I love that. And that's one on my list too. If you can stay happy, then they recognize that it's on them. As soon as you lose control, then they can push that responsibility back on you. So that is very key. Another one that I am remembering, because it's been several years since I've done this, so I'm trying to remember. But one of the things I remember is that I'd have to hold on through day 3. I just remember thinking after the first couple, okay, day 3, I'm ready to give this up. And if I can hold on for another couple days, then it will be okay. Then we'll get over the hump. And I even tell my husband that. I would say, please remind me after day 3 that if I don't give up, I'll be happier in a couple days, because we'll eventually start making progress.
Can I ask you a question with that tip, Nen?
Yes.
Sometimes I feel like I need to get upset so that they understand that they did something that they shouldn't have done.
Right.
I don't know how to explain. How do you stay cheerful and still let them understand that that's a behavior that you don't want for them to continue?
Well, I think that's probably the paradox of parenthood, because we don't want to lose our cool and be angry, but at the same time, you have to be firm to be a good parent. And the same is true for potty training. So when that mess happens, you can still say, there's a mess on the floor. It's your responsibility to clean it up. Here's the wipes. Here's the mop. Go get some new underwear. But you don't lose your cool over it. Can you see that difference?
And what should we do next time so that we don't have a mess to clean up?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I think having the child clean up the mess is a really important part. And I remember a few times when I realized into potty training that they really couldn't manage the cleanup. And so there were a couple of times I quit and waited until they were older so that they could handle the cleanup. If they're not seeing, if they're not paying that price for making the mess, if it's not more uncomfortable to make the mess and have to clean things up than it is to stay dry, I think that's a tipping point for kids.
So responsibility. And
I would go one step further and say that one of the keys for me when I was training my children is that they actually have to get to the point where they are upset. Until they get to that point, they're not going to take the responsibility either. So like Nettie and Lorraine said, they're cleaning up the mess. And I remember having the child in the bathtub and saying, okay, you've got to clean up yourself before you can get out. And I would keep my cool. And as soon as they would start to cry and realize that they had to clean up the mess, then for me, it was a green light. Like, yes, this is upsetting to them. This means that they're going to change next time because they don't want to be sad again. If that makes any sense.
Good point, Mamie. I think when we start potty training, I remember one method I used was to use every method. I would put everything I had on the table. So I would think ahead, like, okay, next week I'm going to start potty training. I'm going to do the sticker chart. I'm going to do the treat, you know, the Cheerio or the marshmallow when you go. I'm going to get the new potty chair. I'm going to have the prize at the end. I'm going to plan my schedule so that I'm not stuck in a situation where I have to backtrack because I can't have a potty training child with me. And I just would put everything on the table and then start. And like Mamie said, start on a Monday. Don't give up on Wednesday. Use every method you can think of. Any other good methods you all have?
Apparently not. I think my youngest was 6 when she finally figured it out 100%. And there were steps along the way. We would be dry during the day for a while before I was ready to tackle night times. So I think it just, some kids get it, but some kids, it's a long process and it's just a lot of patience.
Good point.
Ray, you said, you mentioned that you would take days before you tackled night times. How do you even tackle night times?
I always waited until they started staying dry on their own. And then would start encouraging it. I didn't even bring it up if they weren't staying dry at night. But once they started staying dry once in a while, then I would make sure that part of our routine was going to the bathroom right before we got into bed and going to the bathroom right when we get up. I think Nen taught me that.
I agree with that. And I think Ray's right. You watch and you see, oh, they're starting to wake up dry. Well, then it's time for them to start getting rid of that nighttime diaper or pull-up or whatever it is. One other thing that I did do was I kind of set the stage. So I should probably backtrack. Before you start the sticker charts and all of that, there's a lot of things you can do to prepare the child ahead of time to be potty trained. One thing is, as soon as you wake up, set them on the potty. People usually have to go right as they wake up. Before they get in the tub, set them on the potty. Before they go to bed, set them on the potty. And those simple steps are going to save you time of trying to force that when they're uncomfortable sitting on the potty. That's just kind of breaking ground. So they know what it's for. They know they can do it. You've probably caught it a couple of times. And that gives them confidence and you confidence that they know what they're doing, that they can do it. And that kind of gets past that first barrier. So set that whole stage ahead of time to where they've kind of learned to release on their own. And then you can move on to actually managing it all day long.
I'm at the stage with one of my kids where we've been like potty training her for like 2 years. And she like it's not a big deal anymore. She just always goes in her pants and then she goes and cleans it up, and like it's not a problem for her. And I don't know how to make her understand that it's a problem. Do I go back to stickers? We tried treats for a while, and then all the other kids were upset because they learned to go to the bathroom, and so they didn't get any more treats. And so then it was causing problems because this one got treats for like years because we were still trying to get her to use the bathroom. So what do you do when it's like it's not a pain point for them?
How old is she?
She's 4.
Heidi?
She also has some trauma with the bathroom, doesn't she, Heidi?
She did at the very beginning, but she doesn't anymore. But she did at the very beginning. So she's the first one that hasn't just picked it up.
Well, here's an idea that you may want to just throw out. So I'm just going to say it. But what if you used the treat and instead of, and involve the other children. So when she does go, she gets a treat. When she doesn't go or misses, then everybody else gets a treat. Would that be bad? I don't know.
That's a lot of treats we're going through.
But maybe then it would cause her to say, oh, I better get, I don't know.
That's true, because she doesn't want anyone else to get treats.
It could be a bad idea. Who knows?
When you're parenting, you use whatever you got.
I think it's probably worth a try, Mame.
Yeah, it probably is. We're kind of getting desperate.
I'll bring you a bunch of baby marshmallows next time I visit.
We have baby marshmallows. So I'll try it.
Here's one thing I learned with my oldest when I was potty training. It turned into this huge mess because I read the book about potty training in a day and I felt super confident, and it was just me and him. And after a couple of days, it was a terrible power struggle, and it went on for weeks and months, and it was awful. And I realized I probably approached it all wrong. So my second child and my children after that, it occurred to me that by the time I was potty training, he was old enough to kind of have a will of his own. So I guess I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. There is definite value until waiting till the child is old enough to do a lot of it on their own, like pull up their pants, clean up their mess, that type of thing. But on the flip side, I found with my other children that if I started earlier getting them used to things, then it wasn't as much of a power struggle. Like I say, as soon as I could see my, 18-month-old waking up dry, or right as she woke up, I could put her on the potty and catch it, then I started doing that so that that was already part of our routine. And that way, I wasn't trying to cross so many hurdles to get to the potty training. My children were already used to sitting on the potty, already used to going. And the next step was basically just to have them put on the underwear and manage it all day themselves. Hope that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. One thing I also learned the hard way, I feel like, was that I think the world offers a lot of convenience that actually in the long run doesn't help. For example, the child has to be uncomfortable enough to not want to be wet. But I found that pull-ups were very convenient for me, but also very expensive. And it was hard to buy pull-ups for a long, long time. I wanted to just buy a box and be done with them. And there also are the fabric underwears that are really, really thick. I learned after a few kids that if I used the thin underwear, so it was running down their legs and making a puddle on the floor instead of just being absorbed, it made them more uncomfortable than all the convenient stuff that seems so nice. And it went a little faster.
And just that's interesting.
Just a quick comment on the pull-ups, Ray. I learned this from my neighbor and probably from you. Once my child is potty training at home, then my neighbor said, okay, I'll spend enough money to buy one big package of pull-ups, and that's it. And then I have them so that my child is potty training, I can stick one on, run to the grocery store, then I feel comfortable and not stressed, but then I can come home, put them back in the underwear, And my child knows, I know we have that one box. When they're gone, they're gone. But it still gave me a little bit of comfort for when I needed to be calm in public. But again, made me so I wasn't dependent on them or the child.
That's a really good idea. And I also did use pull-ups when they were independent enough to handle everything on their own, because it made them more independent for a while, because they're easy up and down than diapers undoing and trying to put back on.
Ray, going along with your thin underwear, when I have little girls, I'll often just have them wear a dress and not have anything on underneath for the very same reason, so that it's just a puddle and it makes them uncomfortable.
Another thing I learned is that I only wanted to use the potty chairs that went right into the potty. Like, I couldn't understand why you would have a separate chair on the side, because then you had to clean it up. I always wanted something that just sat right on top, and then they would get used to using the big actual potty.
I'll tell you why I used one that you sit on the side. So I can tell when they went. When they sit on the big toilet, then sometimes they'd say they went, and I couldn't tell if they did or not. And so the little one that I had to empty, I could always see if there were two drops in there, because sometimes that's all there is. But then I know that they went.
Very good point, yes, Heidi.
It is inconvenient to have to empty.
Came with trays now, like they used to. When we were growing up, Mama had one with a tray that snapped on. So on the little potty, the person had to stay there until they were let go. I would have kids that would just get off. Unless I put them on the big potty with one of the little ones that sits right on the big one. So they couldn't get off because they were so little. I don't know where the trays went.
So I don't have anything really to add, except for when we put people on little kids on the potty, someone a long time ago gave us a Leapfrog laptop. That's the only time we ever use it. Is when they're on the potty or the toto, then we just put it on their laps, and that's like their little reward for getting on there. And it keeps them on there until you can hear the tinkle. And Mame once told me that that's when you know you've succeeded, when they know that that's what you're supposed to do there. And so that's your first step in success, is having them understand that that's what you're expecting from them when they sit on the toilet. So that's what we do to keep our kids on, is stick a little Leapfrog laptop. And they all know it's for potty training, and we use it until they're trained, and then it's in storage until the next child.
I can share what we do, even though I'm not saying it's the best way, but this is how I've done it with all my kids. We first use a doll, and we put the underwear on the doll and show that the doll is now wearing underwear. And then we run the doll to the bathroom, and we have a little, like, medicine dropper, I don't even know what they're called, that's full of water, and we go toilet, we like push the water in so they can hear the sound, and we pull up the doll's underwear and wash your hands and do it like 5 times so they see the process and what they're supposed to do. And then we show them that they get underwear, so then we put the underwear on them, and then we run them to the toilet and show them how to pull down their undies and sit on the toilet. And then the whole time they're sitting on the toilet, they get to drink juice. So that makes them want to stay on the toilet, and it makes it so they go to the bathroom a lot. So then we just take them to the toilet like every 5 minutes, and they get to drink juice the whole time they're on the toilet. When they're done, they get up, and then we just take them back to the toilet in 5 minutes. And then when they have a success, we give them salty treats so they want to drink more juice. So it's just like a whole day of running to the toilet. And usually by the end of the day, they've got the idea of what's supposed to happen. So it's worked for us usually till our special one came along, but that's how we do it. And it's worked okay for us.
You guys, I'm just appreciating all your ideas, but Hyde, your thought just made me think of something that we do when we train our kids. And that's that we give a treat to an older sibling if they can take the younger one and just
And when they go to the bathroom, the little one can just watch, you know, and see that this is something everybody does, you know. So they get a treat if, you know, because, you know, Abraham's the one training. So like this week, we're like, hey, Lucy, when you go to the bathroom, if Abraham can come and see that you're going to the bathroom, then you can both get a treat. Just so they can have, you know, they can see this is what you do. This is what you do. Anyway, just like the doll, because we've tried the doll too. And that's a fun thing. We like to do that too.
I'll share one more thing that we have used. When I'm potty training my kids, one of the steps that I watch for is that they are the ones reminding and not me. When, like Heidi, when you said you first start out and you're the one running them in and saying, okay, let's go practice. But you want to get to the point where the child is the one that says, oh, I've got to go. And that's a hurdle that has to be gotten over. So I remember with my first one, just as a mom that was busy with a lot of things, I would forget sometimes to remind her and she'd have an accident. But it actually worked in my favor because then she recognized that I wasn't going to be reminding her all the time. So yes, you start out being the one to remind, but you want to transition to the point where they're the one reminding you that they have to go.
Thanks, Ming. That's probably the hurdle that we never got over with that, with our child.
Heidi, I had an idea though. I don't know if this is helpful. But I was thinking if maybe at the end of the day or maybe even like at lunchtime, say, oh, who's kept their panties dry all morning? Or, you know, who hasn't had any messes today? You know, oh, let's, you know, everybody who didn't or, you know, who didn't have any messes can get this little treat or something at the end of the day and be consistent about it so that, you know, so that she can see, oh, everybody else is keeping theirs dry. You know, everybody else is going to the bathroom. Anyway, that there's an idea anyway. Then it's not like a contest. It's something she can achieve if she wants to.
That is a much nicer thing than what I did do. A couple days ago, I was like, okay, if you can't keep your undies dry, you're going to have to wear diapers again. So I went and got out the diapers and she was like, no, I don't want to wear diapers. So I said, okay, I'm going to give you one more chance. But the next time you're wet, it just shows me that you can't... You're not old enough to wear undies. You've got to wear diapers like the baby. And so she has been dry since then because she knows the next time she's wet, I'm going to put her back in diapers. So I don't, again, that's not as happy as giving everyone treats, but so far it's worked for the last couple of days.
Heidi, what a great idea.
Yeah.
You're doing great. This whole conversation.
I think that's a great idea. It's a natural consequence and we want natural consequences.
Yeah.
We, to get over the hurdle of us taking and them taking is a really hard hurdle sometimes. And there have been some kids, I will set a timer. So every 30 minutes in the day, the timer goes off and I say, okay, it's time to go to the bathroom. And then eventually as they get better, I, instead of saying now is the time, I will say, do you need to go now? And if not, then we just set the timer for the next 30 minutes and we ease over that hurdle a little at a time until pretty soon the timer goes longer and longer and they have more and more autonomy over that.
One other phrase we've used for that is I'll say, do you need to go? Like before we get in the car, when I can't fully trust that they're actually going to make it without an accident. And of course, kids will usually say, no, I don't need to go. So then I'll say, that's fine. We're just going to go pretend. And that means you're still going to go sit on the potty before we jump in the car. And generally, if they have to go, of course, then they'll go. But that way it doesn't feel like a power struggle between me and them. It's just like, that's fine if you don't have to go now. We're about to go somewhere, so we'll just go pretend before we leave. Or everyone's going right now. Just go pretend if you don't have to go. That's been a helpful phrase.
I would second that, Nan. We use the same phrase. And it is wise to have everybody go before you get in the car to go anywhere. And they can see that it's not just them you're pointing out. Everybody that's getting in the car is going to go to the toto.
This whole conversation is just making me smile and giggle, bringing back so many memories.
It's making me dread what I know is coming.
I was thinking, I'm glad it's making you smile.
I will say that whenever we achieve it and have a child actually get it, it is one of the happiest days of my life. And I just am on cloud nine for days because I have a child that is potty trained. It's huge. It really is a huge accomplishment as a mother.
I have to say, on Sunday, they had a celebration moment at Relief Society, and they're like, what are you celebrating? And I said, I just finished potty training my fifth child. And not 10 minutes later, the nursery leader came to the door with my son, and he'd had an accident, and I had to get up and go home and change him.
That's awesome.
And
but I second that, name. It is the best feeling. It is such a great feeling to know you've done it.
And I don't remember, for me, it happened. Like, I was suddenly like, oh, it's done. It kind of was like I forgot to remind them. They forgot to have me remind them. They became self-sufficient. And then one day I woke up and thought, oh, my gosh, we've gone a whole week with no accidents. And then you feel so happy about it.
One time I was in the depths of despair, which happened every time I potty trained a child, more than once. And I was complaining to Jared's mom about how horrible it was, and didn't think we'd ever succeed. And she said, have you ever known a high schooler who wore a diaper to school? And I realized I could take the burden off of me because the child was eventually going to learn it. And it just made my potty training so much less stressful to know that eventually it was going to happen.
I want to share one thing I learned when I had my twins, because I have boy-girl twins, and I have always felt like it's easier to train the girls than the boys. Maybe that's just me. But I remember thinking, okay, here I go. I've got twins. They're both two. This is my moment. I want to be done with all these diapers. So I started both of them, and it was the biggest mess I've ever been in my life. It was horrible. And after a week, I thought, okay, it's obvious that my girl is ready for this, but not my boy. So I just stopped. And I said, I'll just do my girl first. And then in 6 months, I'll try my son again. And sure enough, I did. My daughter trained. And then when my son was 2.5, I said, okay, I'm ready to hit this again. So then he trained. So kind of gave myself some grace that boys were tricky and hard. And girls, at least for me, were easier. And once you see the child's not ready for it, just take a breather.
Nan, that's so true. And I would, again, emphasize that every child is different. Some children take a long, long time to learn. Every child that I've had has been so different. Some of them have learned it in 3 days and they're done. And others, not. But the other thing that I did notice is that there is usually a window. And there are some things that you can watch for to know when the window is opening up. Like if they come to you and say, I need a new diaper, then that's a clue that they know what's happening and what's going on. And that window is fairly brief. So when your child is showing that they're ready, then is the time to do it. And for me, for most of my kids, it usually happened between 18 months and 2.5 years. But every child is different again. So some children won't hit it during that time.
I think window's a great term, Mame, because I did find if I missed the window and waited, then like I said earlier, I got into a power struggle and it wasn't helpful for either one of us. So catch them when it's the right time for them. And I would say earlier is better.
Well, Becca, did we solve all your problems?
All of them. Please come and do the training this next week.
Have you started yet?
I'm just kidding. Actually, we've been doing it since Monday. And Mame, I totally agree. I thought I've got to get through the third day. And oh my goodness, we had successes. So that was great. Yeah. That was so great. And you know, it's still a little uphill, but really he's done really well. He's done really well. So anyway, you guys, yay. But thank you for all your thoughts and inspiration.
So I have a little list of our
of some notes I took. One was to stay calm and to prepare with some routine ahead of time before you start. Regular, put him on the potty in the a.m., p.m., before bed, before leaving somewhere. You can use, well, one of them was to use the one that sits on the big potty so there's less to clean up, but that was, we didn't all agree on that one, so whatever works for you. Make them clean it up so they take responsibility. Make sure you know, make sure they know what is expected and what they're trying to accomplish. Use a doll. Love the leap pad only on the potty and the juice only on the toilet. That the olders get a treat for demonstrating. That was fun. Trust them to learn and to take care of themselves and decide when they need to go. And that there is a window, which generally starts when the child starts coming to you for a new diaper and they recognize that they want a new diaper. Well, I think we have solved the world's problems then. Join us next week for something new. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Good luck.
Thank you. Good luck, Becca.
Love you all.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you.